Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church. I'll be reading today from Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. When you found that, if you're capable of standing, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 17 and 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he had let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took up a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stood up his hands, the one on the one side, the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Somebody glorify God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Stretch your hands this way and please and pray for me today. My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace today, dear Lord. I seek, dear God, your divine anointing. I seek, dear God, your leading, your spirit, the unction of the Holy Ghost to be upon me today, dear God. Father, I am your servant. Forgive me, O Lord, those things which would stand between me and your anointing today. Help me, dear God, today to be your vessel and to speak your word in a way that would be a blessing unto you, dear God, and unto your ears, and also unto these people who are under the sound of my voice, dear God, let them receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen. I want to profess today the power of God's word upon our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to my heart and told me several months ago that as a man of God, as a man of faith, it is my responsibility A lot of people would say, it's my power, it's my anointing, it's my ability. No, it's my responsibility as the man of God to confess and proclaim the power of God over this church and over your lives. Amen? And I have been professing that. The Lord spoke to my heart yet again. And he said, man of God, man of faith, speak these things into existence. Speak growth. I speak growth over you. Speak anointings. I speak anointings over this church and over you. Speak salvations. I speak salvations in this altar, that those who are lost would be drawn to this place to come to an altar of repentance and give their hearts to Jesus. Speak a Holy Ghost outpouring. Come on, somebody. Is anybody ready for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost over your lives? I speak the outpouring of the Holy Ghost over you right now in the name of Jesus. Most recently, the God spoke to me and said, proclaim an anointing upon your people with courage and boldness. Y'all look at me when I say this. Look, I want everybody to see me when I say this to you. He said, proclaim an anointing upon your people that with courage and boldness they would witness and bring the lost into the house of God, where the word of God would touch their lives and draw them unto salvation. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I'm proclaiming an anointing upon you that you have the fire, the zeal, the burden, and the anointing to lead the lost into the home, the house of God. Hallelujah. And to see their souls added to the kingdom. Lord, I won't go there. And I'm short on time. Lord, okay. I don't know if I'm going to get to finish the rest of the message, but I'm going where God told me. Do you know how many years I've been here? 12 years. And in those 12 years, I have labored and I have struggled and I have fought and I have done everything humanly possible and put ministries in this church and programs in this church, and we've taken this church out to the community, out to the streets, to win the lost and to bring people in the house. Lord, help me do this. This wasn't what I was planning to do. Help me do it right. And every time I bring somebody in and we get new people, one of us, and it ain't everybody, it's just one of us, in each different case, it's a different person. One of us will start sowing discord to those people that we bring in. And it won't be long at all before they're gone. Because what somebody... And Lord, help me, Jesus. I promise you this was not... I did not plan this and it wasn't in my notes. But usually when they're sowing discord about me. Sister Renee and I worked and labored hard for a family one time, and worked and labored and worked and labored. The husband had not been to church in 28 years. And we worked with the family. We counseled with them. We got that entire family to start coming to church. And one of my closest church members went to the people and told them not to trust me. If they couldn't trust me, if they couldn't tell me anything, they didn't want to get out. And the entire family left. It's not true. You can trust me to keep your confidences. We worked and we sent this church out. We went and knocked on over 200 doors in our local community, prepared chicken, and gave it away for free, and planned a big old day. And we won a family. We won one family, and I was happy that we won that one family. That one family came in for about 3 weeks, and one other person went to them and started sowing discord and telling negative things, and that family left, and they won't even take our phone calls anymore. And it was an untruth that they told. We had another family come in that I had worked on for months to get them to come in. And they came in, and during the service, it was one of those times when I was preaching exceptionally hard. And I kept telling everybody, I love you, but you got to hear this. And it was hard preaching, but it was the truth. And they went home, and their family member at lunch with them, the family started complaining to the family member that was going to church here. And they started having roast pasture at lunch. And that family started going to another church right then. I can tell you, I got 12 years worth of these stories. At one time, I had over 60 people coming to this church. And every one of them that ain't here now got run off by somebody else in this church. Oh, no. It ain't that as much as it is. We don't know when to keep our mouth shut. We don't know when to... We was talking about offense this morning in Sunday school. We have a tendency as human beings. Every human being has his tendency. We would rather talk about the negative things than the positive things. Because if we talk about the negative things in front of people, it makes people think that we are in the know. Saints of God, we're breaking that tradition today. I have proclaimed over you an anointing to bring people in the house. Lord, I can't do that. The Lord told me just now, and I don't like it, but I'm going to say it and I'm going to be obedient. He said, if we start bringing people in this house and anybody starts running them off with their negative words, then I'm going to turn them out of the church. Amen. Amen. Now let me hear you. Let me say this to you. I don't like doing this, and I've only had to do it once in my ministry in 41 years. But since the Lord just told me that just now, if we start bringing people in this church and any one of you decides you're going to run them off, you're going to be right behind them. Not by your choice. I will send you out. And I have the authority. Now, when people start coming into this church, they're coming here because this church has a reputation. It don't have a reputation of running people off. I'm the only one that knows about that. This church has a reputation of loving people that walk in the door. Everybody knows about that. This church has a reputation that we get our prayers answered. Everybody knows about that. That's why I keep getting calls and texts and messages from people asking me to have my church pray over their situation. When they go to another church, they call us. Lord, what's that tell you? Because they know God answers the prayers of these people in this church. This is the haven of hope. You are a haven of hope for the hopeless. This church is a gold mine of love and the grace and mercy of God. In my 41 years of ministry, I have never found another church that is so full of love like this one. And with what the Lord just spoke to me about your anointing, He told me to proclaim that anointing upon the people. Something happened in a prayer meeting. Something happened in a service. And somebody contacted me and said, Brother Matt, God's doing this, and he's anointing. And before they told me that, God had told me to proclaim the anointing upon the people, that they should go out and bring in the lost, that they'll come to Jesus and get saved, to be their names be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. That God had already told me to start speaking that. And then that person contacted me and said, the Lord has spoken to me and my family. And my family are bringing in our brothers, our sisters, our cousins. God is working on us to start bringing people in the house. And that verified to me what God had just spoken to me Let me tell you something, saints. When God told me to proclaim that anointing upon you, that was not a suggestion. It was not a subliminal message. It was God telling me that you have that anointing. Some of you have been afraid to speak to your lost loved ones. Some of you have been afraid to witness, to try to lead somebody to Jesus. And God said for me to tell you, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. For I, the Lord, have poured out my anointing upon you to do this work. In this the last day, before my sun splits the eastern sky, I will anoint you. I have anointed you that you will be able to bring in the lost to this church, and they will come to me, and they will come to salvation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. The Lord told Moses to hold up his hands during the battle. And while his hands were up during that battle, Israel was victorious. But when he got tired and let his hands down, Israel started getting beat by the enemy. Why would God tell him to hold his hands up during battle? Why would he do that? I always wondered, why did God tell him to hold his hands up during battle so they'd win? Why do you hold your hands up in service? To give God praise. To surrender to him, to his will, to his power, to his anointing. You hold your hands up to give God glory and honor and praise. To praise the Lord for the victory that he's sending into your lives. That's why he told Moses to hold his hands up in praise and adoration of God for the victory. And when Moses quit praising, God quit blessing. What did I say? What did I just say? When the child of God stopped praising, God stopped blessing. Somebody needs to lift their hands. Somebody needs to glorify God. Somebody needs to magnify him today. Glorify him with a victory in this house and over your family, over your loved ones. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. When he didn't praise, they were beaten. Aaron and Hur held his hands up when he was weary. And while they were holding his hands up, they were helping him. Hold on a minute. You mean that when we're too weak and we're too weary to give our praises to God, that our brothers and sisters around us are supposed to come and get with us and hold us up, hold our hands up? Come on, somebody, you're hearing what I'm saying. They're supposed to get around us and hold our hands up so that we can glorify God in our weakness, in our. Don't you know when you're too weary to praise, we're admonished to praise for you on your behalf? Lord have mercy. A few weeks ago, right after I got out of the hospital, something happened and I ended up having to leave the prayer meeting. And I was too weak. I'm going to tell you something. Last Sunday morning, whipped my rear end. It put me into bed for 2 days when I got done preaching last Sunday. And this Sunday is beginning to look like it's doing that too. Hallelujah. During prayer meeting a few weeks ago, I was leading the prayer meeting. And I had become visibly weakened. And I was barely able to function as leading the prayer meeting. And somebody decided to follow the leading of the Lord and commanded that people would gather around me and hold my hands up. Hallelujah! Little did they know that at that very moment I was thinking how weak I was and I needed somebody to help me hold my hands up. And God spoke to them out of the abundance of my heart. God spoke to them and said, hold his hands up. And sitting there in that weakened condition, with my hands having been held up for me, I found myself in the middle of praise and adoration and glory to God. Woo! And God began to anoint. God began to pour out in that prayer meeting. Hallelujah. I could literally feel the anointing of God flowing out of my body into the congregation. I could feel it. And I hadn't felt it in 3 months. And you know, you don't realize something is gone a whole lot of times until it's been gone a while and it suddenly comes back. Hallelujah. That's like the anointing to preach last Sunday. Hallelujah. Sitting there with my hands raised in that weakened condition, I was put into a position of praising the Lord, and I could feel God's anointing moving upon people in the service. And the power of the Lord, not the power of Mac. Come on, somebody. Not the power of your pastor, but the power of the Lord ministered not only to the congregation, but I started getting reports from people on the live stream that God began ministering to them at that time. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Somebody lift your hands in adoration and praise of His name. Somebody magnify Him this morning. Hallelujah. Glory. If the Lord has saved you, you not only have a reason to praise, but you have an obligation. An obligation to praise. You not only have a reason. If you found a fountain, where if you went and drank of that fountain, it gave you 20 years of your youth back. Would you keep it a secret? Or would you go tell everybody that you knew? Come drink of this fountain, it's free. You ain't got to pay nothing. Just come drink and you get 20 years of your youth back. I'd be taking my swim trunks and I'd be laying in that fountain. And when I got out, I'd go tell everybody I knew, hey, come over here with me. Jesus is that fountain. And when He came into my life and came into my heart and saved me from my own sin, I said the word sin. The church has forgotten that word these days. Sin will keep you out of heaven. Just one sin. Just one little tiny sin that you think you got over on God. That you think you got tucked up under the rug. That ain't going to get by. That one little sin that, oh yeah, you can come to church and you can feel good and you can praise the Lord. But you got that sin in your life that's going to keep you here when the rapture happens. And if you end up here when the rapture happens, you're going to hell more than likely. More than likely. I don't want that for you. You don't have to go to hell because Jesus is the fountain of the water of life. And He said, come and drink of this water freely. Hallelujah. He that receiveth me has rivers of living water flowing out of his belly. When you're saved, when God has washed away your sin, you have a joy. You have an abundance. You have a victory that you should naturally want to share with everybody else. I want everybody in here to think about one person that you know that don't go to church. Right then, two or three came to your mind. If Jesus were to split the eastern sky right now, they're not serving God, they wouldn't go. If you're not serving God, if He were to come this very minute, you wouldn't go. You'd be left here to face the tribulation. And if you think the world is bad now, when the tribulation begins, it's going to be so bad you're going to wonder how you're going to survive it. But you'll be forced to survive it because during the tribulation period, you can't die. Yeah. The only way you can die during the tribulation period if you're here on the earth is to lose your head. Because you're going to suffer that tribulation if you're still here. God don't want you to suffer tribulation. God does not want you to suffer hell. God has given, if you're saved, if you've asked the Lord Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sin, and you're walking by the light of His Word right now, and you go to heaven, you've got a reason and a responsibility and an obligation to tell somebody about the forgiving power of Jesus and to lead them in that sinner's prayer. That's why I teach you that prayer. That prayer, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus." That's the sinner's prayer. That's the only prayer the sinner can pray that God will actually hear. He says so in His Word. He don't hear the prayers of the sinners unless it's that one of repentance. Hallelujah. I pray that prayer with you so you'll know how to pray it. Not only so you'll know how to pray it, but so you'll know how to lead it. Amen. Let me show it to you. "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner" means that we as Christians need to confess our sin before God. Amen. The Bible teaches us to confess our sin before God. "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God." We have to confess that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. He came from God out of heaven and came to earth as a man and suffered all the things that we have to suffer so that He didn't sin one time, so that He could have the power to forgive our sin. "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You died on the cross for my sin." He went to the cross having never sinned, never doing anything wrong. He was punished for our sin, and He'd never committed one. And that gave Him the authority to forgive our sin when we ask Him and we repent. That's why we pray that. "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You died on the cross for my sin. I know You were raised again on the third day." That's an important part right there. Because Jesus died on the cross. Because He had to die because we all die. But you also know why He had to die? So He could be raised again. And He could prove to us that there is a resurrection for the believer. He defeated death. Hallelujah. "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that You're the Son of God. I know that You died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day." This is the most important one. "Come into my heart and forgive me of my sin." When you pray that, the blood that ran down the cross at Calvary, His precious, purest, sinless blood, the blood that gives life, is applied to your body, applied to your heart, applied to your soul, and He washes away.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, a Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.